Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Kama Tzadi Zayin, Baba Kama 97a, pagination is 193, dealing with cases where a person stole an item and then a change occurred. And the question that we're dealing with is the change so significant that the item belongs to the gazlan, to the thief? And therefore, even if the price changes, etc., he's simply going to be bound to the price at the time of the theft. Because it changed, and he was kona it, he now owns it, and the amount of money that he has to return is an amount. It has nothing to do with the item itself, even though had the item still been intact, there would be a law of Veheshev es Hagzela Shagazal Kein Shagazal, you would have to return the item as it is. But over here it changed, and therefore he owes money and not the item. There are two major differences in what ramification occurs if he owns it. Number one, the change, as we mentioned, will indicate how much he owes the owner. Because if the item still belongs to the owner, then if it goes up, it goes down, he could just return the item and he satisfied his responsibility. If, however, it's been changed, then he cannot fulfill Ke'en She'gazal, the item that he stole, and therefore he owes money. If it goes up or down, it's the gain or loss of the gazlan. Which brings us to the other ramification, which we mentioned in a previous session. And that is that if the person benefits, if the thief benefits from the item because he shears the wool or it gives birth, etc., so if it's a fundamental change, so then he owns the item, and it's his item that bore this fruit. We discussed this in Baba Kama Tzadihei 95a. If, however, it still belongs to the owner, then all of those improvements are the owner's. Now, one thing we kind of omitted is the observation from Shulchan Aruch Shin Samach Gimel Gimel, that if the person has a habit of doing this, he takes animals that are laden with wool, steals them, shears them, and then returns the item and has a racket going where he figured out how he can make money on other people's things, so then indeed it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that we would impose a knas, a fine, to leverage against this behavior. Now, there are possibly three categories of the level of change that could occur that would cause the gazlan, the thief, not to be able to return the item intact. So one level is hezek nicker. Something is obvious. There was a coin, and he took a sledgehammer, he smashed the coin. So then that's noticeable that it's no longer the item that it once was. There's also, on the other extreme, a hezek she'eino nicker. There's no way for anybody to tell in the item that something's changed, even though something certainly has changed, that there's a ramification. Chametz that went through Pesach, owned by a Jew. Teruma that became Tamei. Anybody looking at it, comparing it to anything in the world, there's no way anybody would know that this is different. But if you know the history, then you know that there's a halacha that pertains to this item. And then there's an interim stage where, looking at the item itself, you cannot see that it's damaged. But when you compare it to other items you'll realize there's something wrong here. And the example which we want to discuss is a coin that has been disallowed. It's no longer good currency. So there's nothing about the coin, if you hold it up to the light, there's nothing that you're going to notice that's wrong. But when you compare it to other coins in currency, in circulation, you'll realize this item is not good. And that interim stage, is that considered a hezek nicker, or is that considered a hezek she'eno nicker? Let's start with the facing page, Tzadivav Amid Beis 96b, at the Mishnah, where we have a number of straightforward examples of how this works. Gozo behema v'hiskina, about 8 lines into the wide. If a person stole an animal and it became old, so the halacha is mishalim kishas hagzeilo, he has to pay like the time of the stealing, because at this point the animal is not considered the same animal, can't use it for work, and at the moment that he stole it, that's where we're attributing its value, and that's what he has to pay. He cannot simply return the animal because it's so noticeably different. Gozal matbeya v'nistak, he stole a coin and it smashed. Peros v'herkivu, fruit, and now it's spoiled. Yayin v'hichmitz, wine, and now it went sour, it became vinegar. Mishalim kishas hagzela, that's also an example of something so noticeable that you pay it from the time of theft, and the item intact as it is not something you could discharge your responsibility of returning the gzela with. However, matbeya v'nifsal, if he has a coin and it became posel, invalidated, teruma v'nitmes, teruma, and it became tame, ritually impure, now it can't be used. Chametz v'over alav ha-pesach, the most famous case, chametz, and it went through Pesach owned by a Jew, and therefore it is forbidden, but you can't tell on it that it's forbidden. Omer lo arei shalach lefanecha, you could say, here it is, I'm returning it to you. And if there is some halacha that restricts its use, but that's not intrinsic damage that's noticeable in the item, and the Goslin could indeed return it. We would have to figure out the ramifications. Hezek she'ena nikar, if it's called a grama, it's called an indirect damage. But on basic level, it's returnable because it is not noticeably changed. Let's move on to today's daf. On the second wide line, Gozal matbeya v'nistak, the Mishnah told us that a coin that's been shattered, so that you pay kishas hagzela like the time of the theft, you cannot return such a damaged product. Amar Rav Huna said, nistak, nistak, mamish. When it says smashed, it means smashed. When it says nifsal, paslasa malchus. And when it says pasul in the next case, that you are allowed to return it intact, that's because the kingdom invalidated it. But intrinsically, it's the same coin. It's just that something external changed in the money system. But the item could be returned. That's Rav Huna's ruling. Rav Yehuda Amar, and Rav Yehuda said, a more sweeping understanding. Paslaso malchus nami hainu nistak. When the kingdom invalidates it, that's also considered shattered. Elahechidami nifsal. What would be an example that it's invalidated? Shepaslaso medina zuv yotze b'medina acheres. That they invalidated in this country, but in a different country it still works. And therefore, the coin intrinsically is good, and it's even usable. And that's why you'd be allowed to say, Harei shalach lefanecha, I'm returning it to you. But again, the case that we were considering, where they totally invalidated the coin, according to Rav Yehuda, it's considered invalid, the same as smashing a coin, and you cannot return that coin. This is the Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda regarding a coin that's been invalidated. According to Rav Huna, it can still be returned. According to Rav Yehuda, it's the same as shattered. Let's skip two lines. Amale Rava l'Rav Yehuda. Rava said to Rav Yehuda, L'didach, according to you, da'amrit, paslasa malchus nami hainu nistak, that when it becomes invalidated, it's the equivalent of shattered. Hare truma v'nitmes, we saw a case where the truma looks intact, but it became tamei. D'chipaslasa malchus, it's the same as the kingdom invalidating it. Very interesting analogy. Hashem, the kingdom, invalidated it. But it looks the same. Uktani, and the rule over there by Teruma was, Harei shalach lefanecha. He can say, here it is before you. He's allowed to return it. And therefore, the argument that Rava says is that you should still be able to return the coin that's become invalidated, because that's a kingdom rule. That's a malchus. But the item itself remains unchanged. Amale, and Rav Yehuda responded, Hasam lo minkar hezeka. Over there by Teruma, you can't discern the problem. If you compared it to other grain in the world, it all looks the same. Hacha minkar hezeka. But over here, you could discern the problem, says Rashi, because this coin is not similar to other coins that are going in circulation at this time. And that's considered, according to Rav Yehuda, a hezek nicker, something that could be detected, and therefore it cannot be returned. In Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Samach Gimel Se'if Aleph, we indeed find both approaches. One is nistak o paslo hamelech, if it was shattered or invalidated by the kingdom, mishalin kishas hagzela, you would pay like the time of the theft, meaning you cannot return the item, because as Rav Yehuda holds, even though it's not intrinsic to the item that you can notice it's hezek, but if you do your comparison research, you could see that this item is invalid. However, v'yesh omrim, the Rama says, there are those that say, the matbeya afilu posla hamelech, even if the kingdom invalidated it, omer lo harei shalach lefanecha, you could say, behold, it is before you, because in its appearance, it has not changed. And that's the ruling of Rav Huna. Essentially, the machlokes here is in this dialogue between Rava and Rav Yehuda, where Rava says, such a coin that's invalidated by the kingdom should be comparable to Teruma Venitmes, in which case it's only the kingdom that says it's no good, but it looks the same, and it's called Hezek She'eino Nikir, and it is returnable intact. Whereas Rav Yehuda is responding based on external information, I could discern that this item is invalid. And Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that such an item is considered hezek nicker and is not able to be returned intact. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.